in particular to the book of Job. Book of Job, chapter 33, reading at verse 27. He looketh upon man, and the very same, I have sinned and perverted that which is right, and it profiteth me not. He will deliver his soul from going down to the pit, and his life shall see the light. You know, many times in the world and among people outside it, you have a joke made about someone who starts going to church. Someone who starts to seek to follow God. The joke very often is, you know, he's seen the light. This phrase probably comes from the experience of the apostle on the road to Damascus, when he had that tremendously dramatic experience of being blinded by a light from heaven when he saw the Son of God. He saw the light. But you know, there are more parts in Scripture that talk about the light than that. Not everyone sees a light literally in the heavens. But everyone who will find God will see the light. In other words, that person will be inwardly illuminated by God to see God's way of salvation, God's way back. Now, at the beginning of the year, I want to look with you at God's way back, because at the start of the year, if we find the way back, the year will be a blessed one. If we don't, the year will be another one that adds to our judgment at the end of the day. Many of us, at the beginning of a year, those of us who profess to be Christians, and those of us who are not professing to be Christians, many of us deep down want something different. Most of us at the beginning of the year want a new beginning. We want to begin afresh. We want to begin with a slate clean. The problem that we face, of course, is that there are some things on the slate that we can't clean. Things that we've done, things that we've said, things that we've been. We ourselves can try, but we can't clean our own slate. It's like as if in the beginning of 1979, we went into the bedroom and we got a big pillowcase full of feathers, and one of us in the family got into a terrific rage, and we took a knife and we split open the pillow slip. We went to the window and we threw it out the window, and the feathers began to blow with the wind. A moment or two later, we might have had a bit of regret. We might try to gather up all the feathers, because the wind has taken them away. We might gather up as many as we could and put them into another barn. But the task is too big for us. The feathers of our living have blown far and wide. They've been observed by others. They've affected others. And no matter what we try to do, we can't really undo the past ourselves. There's nobody living who can undo the past. Now, we may try to, we may want to, we may wish that we had never done the things we've done, all of us. And there's nobody, I hope, here who thinks as they look over 79 that everything was pretty good. What I want to say to you, my friend, is that you can't clean the slate. You can't catch the feathers. You've affected people. You've hurt people. You've led people astray. You've made people unhappy. So have I. We can't undo it. That's what I want to say. And if you and I look over the past year, we can't look over it without guilt. Well, we mightn't have always been to blame for everything that happened in our own minds. But leaving that aside, there's guilt. We've got guilt on our shoulders as parents. Many parents here who don't feel guilt for the way that they've guided their children, the things that their children see in their own home, the rounds, and so many things, the lack of example. Now our children are looking at us, and over the past year they looked at us. Over the past 20 years they looked at us. But is there anyone in here that doesn't feel guilt? There's people in church here who profess to be Christians. Over the last year, how many people that you've been in contact with have you talked to about Christ? How many people have you witnessed to? Or have they seen you in your mood? In your queernesses? Have they seen you as people that wouldn't like to have a friend? Yes. Guilt. You take your life with God. You read in the scriptures, your prayer life, your work in the church, it's Christian. It's not guilt. Things that you said, the biting tongue. It is non-Christian, just the same. You've had many opportunities, but you've never taken any of them. You see, when you look over the past year, there's guilt. And with most of us then, there's shame. Shame because of the kind of people we've been. Shame because of the kind of things that we've done. Shame because of what we've left undone. Some of us with so much shame that we're frightened to look into the reality of the past year. Deep down within our heart, can sin is sin. And wickedness is wickedness, and God is good, and God is just, and God is pure, there's fear. We've not all got deep down within us inner fear. Fear of God, fear of our conduct, fear of the future. Fear because we've been the kind of people that we've been over the past year. There's fear. But then when you look over the past year, there's the mistakes that we made. There are all kinds of mistakes that we've made. Some people we've misjudged. Some people we've hurt. Sometimes willfully, sometimes unwillingly. We've made mistakes in every realm. Some of us have had so many lost chances. We've had a chance to put things right. Time and again we could have done that thing that put things right, but we didn't do it. The year is filled with lost champions. It's filled with poor progress of Christians. It's been filled with diversions. past year with shame and guilt and fear and lost chances and diversion and lack of progress, and surely with sin on our shoulders we say, oh God, what I really need is a fresh start. I'm a Christian. What I really need is a new encounter with yourself. What I really need is something to hold on to, a new promise. What I need is a new dimension. I need new light. I need new life. All right. If this is the pattern of our feeling, if this is the pattern of our past that we are ashamed of, how, when we come to the beginning of a new year, can we be sure that we're on the right road, that we're on the right path, that we're on the way back to God? Now, is there anybody in church this morning who really wants to be on this path and to be sure of it? Is that to be on it and to be sure of it? Well, if you don't, there's nothing more that I can say. There's nothing more than I can do. It's true of anyone who is in that frame of mind that the Bible calls dead. The brand of spiritual death is on your forehead. Now then, what of those who want to begin the new year on the right road? Some say, well, how can I get on to the right road? How can I be right with God? How can I get the slate of the past wiped completely clean so that I can start fresh without fear and without looking back, that I can start anew knowing that everything is blotted out, that I'm clean to make a new beginning? So this text that we turn to gives us the answer to our problem. And all I want to do this morning is to go through the text, and as you go through the text, you'll find that there are 7 phrases in it. 7 phrases. And in these 7 phrases, if you look at them, you will look at them perhaps almost as a ladder with 7 rungs that you can climb, or 7 steps that you can take back to the path of God. So the first is very simple, but it's very profound. And it goes like this: He looketh upon men. Now just stop there. He looketh upon men. Who is the He? The He, of course, is God. And He looketh upon men from a position where He sees everything, where He misses nothing. He sees the outside, but He sees the inside. He sees the life pattern, and He sees the brain pattern. He looketh upon men and He misses nothing. This is the God who made us, the God with whom we have to do. There's nothing hidden from His eyes. And our text this morning says, He looketh upon men. Now this is a fact that must be accepted. He looks upon men. It's a fact. This is a reality that must be feared. Because he that looketh upon man not only sees nothing, not only misses nothing, he forgets nothing. So this is a fact to be feared. And yet at the same time, this is a truth to be grasped. He looks upon man, he knows. So we're dealing not with someone that we can hoodwink, not with someone that we can flatter, not with someone who can make a mistake. He looketh upon men, and he looked upon you the whole of 1979. He's looked upon you and he's looked upon me from the moment we've been born, and he's missed nothing. And he's seen everything, and he's forgotten the things. And he's written down everything. So therefore, there's none of us going to get away from this fact, or away from God. We're going to meet up with God, if not in one of the months of 1980. In the future, he looketh upon me. Alright, that's the first one. Now the second phrase in our text this morning is also very simple. Listen to it. He looketh upon men, and if any man say, here we find an invitation, a universal invitation. If any man say, so we see two things in this phrase. One, it's a universal invitation, and two, it's a personal opportunity. An invitation and an opportunity given to who? Any man. That's you, that's me. If any man says something, so we're all invited. We've all got the opportunity. There's a possibility of getting the slate clean. There's a possibility of getting the past blotted out. It's for any man. If any man says, okay, what? If any man say, I have sinned. Well, that's just genuine confession. God is waiting at the beginning of the year, not as a priest in a little box, but he's waiting as the God creator to hear your personal confession. It's not very difficult. Your personal confession, he's waiting to hear. If any man say, I have sinned, your personal confession, is that difficult? Is it difficult to go to God and make your personal confession? And then it is, and perverted that which is right. You know what that is, my friend? That's illumination. Illumination. When we go to God and make our confession, it must be because we've been illuminated. We must make our confession against the background of our guilt. We must come to the place where we know we perverted that which was right. It mustn't be just a general confession. It mustn't be a lip confession. It must be a enlightened confession. We must know that we perverted that which was right. We've gone against that which was right. We fought against that which was right. We've disobeyed that which was right. We've rebelled against what is right. God wants to hear a confession of our own rebellion with a confession that his ways were right, and his ways are right, and his ways will always be right. Now are you and I prepared to make that confession? Because there's another element in it that we must come to experience. He looketh upon men, that is reality. If any man say, that is invitation. I have sinned, that is confession, and perverted that which is right, that's illumination. And the next thing, and it profiteth me not. That's realization. So what God is calling upon men at the beginning of the year to confess is that the actions of the past year haven't profited, have they? Can you tell me on any occasion when evil brings lasting enjoyment, when disobedience against God brings lasting contentment? I know that pleasure can be pleasurable for a season. I know that you can put God aside and forget him completely. I know that you can live your life in a vacuum without God. But can you tell me, my friend, of any evil thing that you have done knowledgeably that really brought you contentment? Pleasure that's lasting. You know, evil will never leave us with something that we can be proud of, only with something that we will fear its consequences. And if you're here at the beginning of the year, and you look over the past year with all your teaching and with all your background, I want to suggest to you that if you don't come to the place where you can say, it profited me not, then you'll not go on to the road back. You'll still remain on the broad road that leads to destruction. And so at the beginning of the year, God is asking for a confession that is genuine. If any man says, he's inviting every one of us, I have sinned and perverted that which is right. I sinned against God, against his ways, against his instructions, against his book, against his Christ, against my conscience, against my background. I have sinned. That's why I feel shame. That's why I feel guilt. That's why I feel fear. That's why I feel discontent. That's why I'm not really happy. I have sinned then, and it profited me not. It never profited anyone. Someone says, all right then, what more? There's no more. Now that's the beauty of this text, there's no more. Because if you look at these first four things, or first five things, you will see that they are all on your side. You see, you've got to say, I have sinned. You've got to find out that you've perverted that which is right. You've got to admit to God that it didn't profit you. You've got to come to God, and I've got to come to God in this condition, with this confession. And someone says, but what then? Nothing. That's all that God asks, the strange thing is. But when we do that, then God comes into action. And that's the beauty of this text. Listen to what it says. He will deliver his soul from going down to the pit. Your soul will be delivered from going down to the pit. And that's redemption. And that's God's part. And then it is his life will see the light, that new direction. And that's what we need going into the new year. We need God's redemption and God's direction. And God promises it to those who make their confession, who say, "I have sinned, I perverted that which is right, it didn't profit me." I want you to look at the story in the New Testament of the Good Samaritan, or rather the prodigal son. The prodigal son. And I want to suggest to you that when that boy went wrong, he went really wrong, didn't he? He wasted his substance with riotous living. He had his fling. He was a boon to the harlot. The publicans welcomed him with open arms. He lived high for a period of time until he found out he had really had nothing. There was nothing left. Nothing to spend and nothing to hope for. Nothing to spend and nothing to hope for. That's the position that he was in. And when he had nothing to spend and nothing to hope for, the Bible tells us he came to himself and he said within his own mind, "I will arise and I will go to my father and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Make me a servant.'" And so, back he came. Now when he arrived very near his home, he found that his father was looking for him. And there you find the same thing as you find in this text. He looketh upon men. And in the father's eyes there was a welcoming look, and in the father's heart there was a welcoming warmth. And the father, we read, got that old boy was, ran down the road. And this boy was wanting to get right with his father. He was wanting to tell him that he had forfeited all right to become of a son. He was wanting to become a servant. But if you remember the confession that the boy got out, it was the same confession as you find here in the book of Job. His father came and he put his arms around him and welcomed him, and the boy just got this. He says, "Father, I have sinned." And he never got to the stage of saying, "I'm not worthy to be called your son," or he got that far, "Make me a servant." He never got to that stage, because by the time he got out, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight," the father had already given the order for the calf to be slain, for the clothes to be brought, for the shoes to be brought, for the ring for the finger. All that the father heard from that boy was, "I have sinned," and the father did the rest. He was at the beginning of the year. That's what we have got to come to grips with. The very simplicity. No matter what we've been, no matter what we've done, no matter how we've erred, no matter how we've turned, there is a way back. But if you were to take this text simply, you would find that it was broken into four parts. First of all, realize that God knows. Right? Two, bring out into the open yourself what God knows. Look at it. Bring it out. For God knows it already. Third, then let God deal with what he knows about it, as he promises to deal in that space. then depend upon God's promise for the future. That's the text divided. Realize that God knows, he looketh upon men. Bring out into the open what God already knows. You bring it out, that's confession. And then there's faith. Let God redeem you. Let God pardon you. Let God forgive you. Let God wipe your slate clean. Because he promises that if you confess to him, he'll do it. And then, as you go into the year, depend on him to give life to your life every step of the road. That's the pattern that we find in this text. It's so simple, but yet it's profound. He looketh upon men, and if any man say, I have sinned, and perverted that which is right, it profiteth me not, he will deliver his soul from going down to the pit. Someone says, how will he deliver my soul from going down to the pit? This way, through giving you the protection of Christ's salvation, through giving you the covering of Christ's righteousness, through transmitting to you the forgiveness of Christ's cross. That's the only way any man can be forgiven. That's the only way any slate can be put clean. That's the only way any person can go into the new year with hope and without fear. Having the protection and the cleansing of Christ's sacrifice. And having the promise of God's inner light by the indwelling Holy Spirit for the year to come. You see, it's all there in the Old Testament, just as it is there in the New. At the beginning of the year, he looks upon you. He knows about you. He misses nothing. He forgets nothing. Now, are you going to confess your own confession? Are you going to say, I have sinned? I have perverted that which is right, fought against it. It hasn't profited me. And if you come that far to God, that's as far as you can come. The rest depends on him. And he says, if you come that far, he will come all the way and give you a fresh start. O gracious God, grant that we might begin afresh at the beginning of a fresh year with confidence, with peace, with the wonderful knowledge that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sins. And so when thou art calling us to the path that is trod by the people of God, may we come by the way of repentance and confession, and then trust thee to redeem, to wipe the slate clean at the beginning of this year, and then to give us the strength and the light and the direction for the year. For Christ's sake. Amen.